Hey, you guys. So today's video is about movie review podcast. So like sometimes, you know, just people want to hear about movies and stuff. And, you know, like sometimes smaller podcasts need help getting their small channel listening to because they need help because they're not as big as me and Dan's podcast. So, you know, like what you could do is you could like retweet them, or you could be nice to them, or you could write a letter to your local congressman and let them know how you feel so they don't feel so bad. So that's like the end of the video, guys. Okay, hope you liked it. Gucci.
You're perfect.
Thank you. Dan?
Yes. Thank you. You're welcome. So, Jaren.
Yes.
What's up? We watched a film this week called Eighth Grade.
Eighth Grade.
The directorial debut of the great Bo Burnham.
Bo Burnham.
Somebody that I am proud to be older than and less successful than.
Ah, yes. Not only is he talented in music, but he's also a good actor. I've seen him act before, and now he's a good director and writer, apparently. So, fuck him.
Seriously, he's like, you've heard of a triple threat. Oh. Bo Burnham's like a quintuple threat.
No, he's amazing. If this hasn't already colored what we think about his movie that he made, I mean, honestly, I don't even know if you need us to tell you really about, I mean, we'll go in more in depth about it, but I feel like the reviews are already out for this film. I can't think of many people who dislike the movie. So yes, this is the Indie Film Review. Hello. We do reviews on independent films. Wow. Who would have thought?
Especially independent films that have already been reviewed.
That's right. Well, it's weird. Well, how do you feel about this, Dan? Because like, sometimes I do want to review movies that get high praise. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're both going to immediately love
them.
Yeah,
we
want to
take it down a couple pegs.
No, not even that, but I still think it's worth us talking about. It's still
fun. Yeah, it is. It is. It is very much still fun. And like, you know, we got to get in on the bandwagon, you know. Yeah, we got to get that bandwagon in.
Exactly. I love being on bandwagons because I don't have to walk.
Exactly. Just like in that one movie, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, where
that's
kid
right.
was walking backwards.
That's right. He's like, I'm gonna walk all the way back. I'm gonna walk backwards to Oregon. He's like, stop doing that.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta ride in the bandwagon.
That's right.
Because your mom is scolding you.
That is right. And also, I should not assume so much, because when I first heard about this movie, Eighth Grade, right?
Mm-hmm. You were in eighth grade? Wow.
I heard about it in eighth grade, which is weird. Is that weird?
You're like some kind of time traveling nut,
that's
aren't
right.
you?
That's right. Marty, it's your movie. It's your kids, Marty. They're going to be in a film. So, I wasn't too jazzed about actually watching this. When I first saw the trailer.
Then why did you say we should watch it?
Well, here's, let me finish.
Okay.
And I heard about the movie. I was like, this doesn't seem like a movie that appeals to me at all.
Right.
You know?
Me too. I thought that as well.
You're like, this movie isn't for me. And you know, I'm like, you know what? The reviews are so huge. I can't ignore them anymore. I'm going to watch this movie and I'm going to judge it for what it is. And I'm so glad that I did.
I'm glad that we did too. I did enjoy myself. But if you want to know what the film is about, allow me to explain.
Yes, please. Thank you, Dan.
A young girl tries to find herself through talking to herself in videos and passive-aggressive attempts of rape.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that I think I covered all the bases, right?
Yeah. Oh, this movie gets interesting.
It does get interesting. But, you know, the life of an eighth grader is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is non-spoiler territory. How did you feel about the overall construction of the film?
I thought it was solid. I didn't really find anything wrong with it. The pacing was fantastic. It kept me interested the entire time, even though, like, it's a fucking 13-year-old girl. You know what I mean? And then all the conflict that arose, it was good conflict. It was believable conflict. And it was charming and silly and stupid and disturbing all at once.
Oh, yes. This movie made you feel the feels. And I was so uncomfortable during so many scenes. And I said yikes, like, out loud a few times. Just like, oh, why is this happening? Either because I felt embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or something on the screen, which is very uncomfortable. And I feel like that's 100% what they were going for. You kind of feel like...
just, you feel like an awkward eighth grader.
Yes! And when she has the panic attacks and freaks out, I'm just like, oh, no! It's happening! It's too much. And I feel like the little kid actors in this, they all did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, usually, I can't stand little kid actors. But all these kids do such a good job. It's out of control. Why are they so good, Dan?
Because.
Next question. Why are they so good?
Because they are being paid, I would assume.
Oh, so there's some kind of monetary incentive.
Yeah, kids like to make bank. I don't know if you knew that.
Fucking... get that, is it hashtag swag time? Hashtag swag in it?
Sure.
That's right. I think that's what they say. And this movie makes an interesting point where it talks about, like, how the generations are changing so quickly now. To where
that was amazing.
Even 4 years from now, what people were raised with is completely different from what we were raised with. Because, like, I'm still technically... I guess a millennial.
Yeah, we are. We are like 1981 onward is millennials.
Yeah. And
but you know what never changes?
So I can't even imagine what like a 14-year-old or 15-year-old grew up with. What's that?
You said you know what never changes?
War.
Well, that and the porn industry. Those are always going to be the two constants. Every single generation. You're going to have two things. You're going to have worn.
You're going to have worn. Well, pretty soon we're just going to strap on fucking fuck goggles and people can just jack
pretty
right in
soon,
literally.
Okay, we're always going to have war and we're always going to have pornography, but soon we're going to have warnography.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think we already do, though. I think there's like...
pornography. So it's like a first-person shooter, but you use your penis and you're like running around shooting people. Dan,
what if you don't have a penis?
This is a billion-dollar
idea. I think it is. I really think
how
it
do
is.
I invest?
Okay, so basically the idea right now, the idea here curious. Is okay, so we're going to take Treyarch's model for Black Ops.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay. Oh, it's got to be a battle royale because we got to cash
in. I mean, yeah, because Treyarch has already done that. We have the new Call of Duty has a battle royale. So we'll just take that model, the Blackout model.
Absolutely.
And we will...
we'll rip that code out.
We'll rip the code out, and then we'll replace everybody with, like, flesh-colored parachutes so they can, like, you know, wing in on that. And we'll redo all of the guns with just dicks, just lots of dicks. Like, detachable penis. Like, there's, like, a cool cutscene where, like, he just unscrews his penis and then holds it in his hand like a Walter
PPK. Like a
PPK.
Dick grenade?
No, like a dick pistol.
Oh.
I mean, we could have dick grenades.
Dan, I want to explore this further, but we're cutting into our new movie review time. I love this idea. Let's table it for now.
Okay.
We'll hash it out in a few meetings, and we'll really figure this out. We'll get some investors. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. For sure. So, another question to you.
Yes.
How did you feel about the music in this movie?
It was bizarrely good. I thought.
It was the best aspect.
For you, really? Movie. Like, I didn't like it at first, but then I'm like, oh my God, it's actually work. Did Bo Burnham do the music to this? Did you look it up?
I don't know.
Let me look it up.
Whoever did, it was amazing.
It's a weird kind of synthy, like modern synth, but like circusy music. You know what I mean?
Yes. And it made you have the emotions that it wanted you to have without feeling manipulative somehow. I don't know how it did it. I think it's, so what makes this movie special too is how different it feels from what you think the movie would be. Cause you know, there's all those different tropes. Mm-hmm. That a coming of age story would have of like girl goes to school and she's awkward and then the bullies bully her. But then like the cute hot guy like makes a bet with their friend and like, if I can make this girl cool in like 10 days, then I'll win a Lamborghini or something, you know, like some dumb shit like that. It didn't have anything. There was no bullies. There was no sexy love interest.
Because there's no,
I mean, there was, but he was like the bad guy. He was the loser in the film.
Oh, wow. So the guy who did the music is named Joe Rudge, and he is pretty prolific. He did the music for Hereditary. Money. He did the music for The Big Sick. He did the music for Eighth Grade.
Both of those are really good.
What else? Room. Not Tommy Wiseau's Room, but a different...
I'd like to say this right now. The Big Sick is probably one of the best romantic comedies I've seen in a long time. It's, I think that's with Kumail Nanjiani,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
thinking
yeah.
the right
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
That movie is really fucking good. It's funny, and it's worth seeing for sure. Okay, Dan, unless you have another question for me, we should get into...
No, let's just get right into it, because all my questions come from the spoiling aspect. I mean, not really questions,
sure.
But like the things that we want to talk about the most, we should just delve right into. So if you want to go watch this movie, you totally should. Go watch that right now, and then come back.
Yeah, I watch it right now. Go watch it.
But make sure you come back to us.
Mm. No. I mean, yes. Oh, I get confused. I'm old. I'm an old millennial. Somebody was telling me, I forget who told me, but like the generations, it's every 15 years and there's a new generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're getting close to whatever the next thing is. So Dan, I want to know, what's the next generation going to be called?
Time to play the next generation.
What's the next generation? I think it's going to be called phone.
Well, no, because the current generation that we're in is the I generation. So we already got that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe snap generation. Generation snap. Like the Snapchat. Generation ghost.
So they actually call it the I generation? I didn't know this.
Gen Z is the I generation.
Weird. And this is the one that's preluding millennials? So it's like...
After millennials, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Preluding.
Interesting.
You
Weird.
And your fancy words.
I guess
words.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the iPhone fucking changed everything.
Oh, and then like iPhones, think about this. The iPhone didn't come out till...
Smartphones, I guess.
iPhone. We'll just call it iPhone and iPhone
yeah,
one
yeah,
of
yeah.
these.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
They didn't come out until 2007. That was the year I graduated high school that came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's fucking crazy.
Learning how this little kid lives her life with like the videos, the YouTube, and just constantly being on her phone through Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier about how we're bad at social media.
Yeah, we are terrible at social media. It takes us planning to actually post onto things like Twitter and Instagram. It doesn't come naturally, and it's almost like it's a fucking chore, and it's annoying as hell. But then, you know, I teach high schoolers that are just like, they behave the same way this girl does, just on their phone constantly, in class, not paying attention to me. Just on their phone. It's fucking ridiculous. That's what this generation is. And it's a perfect embodiment. But then getting to look inside what this girl is dealing with gave me kind of a weird new perspective on, you know, the disrespect I feel in class. Because, like, they don't mean any disrespect. They're just addicted. And this is how they're living. It's
Yeah. Well, it's that FOMO culture.
FOMO.
All the kids are talking about FOMO. Let me make sure I get the actual. It's anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media websites.
Oh.
Fear of missing out.
Oh. And
I've heard this term, and that makes perfect sense because everyone is posting things online, only showing their best selves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you only see everyone looking fantastic. They have makeup on, or you see all these supermodels. It used to be you would just see all the pretty attractive people in magazines and movies. But now it's just you're fucking... I mean, you were hammered by it then, but now it's somehow even worse, where it's just like now people you're friends with online, are, like, their lives are
well, and then, like, what's
yours.
Crazy
like, I need to do better.
About this FOMO culture, because if we're going to use the lingo, the minute that you post... It's like it propagates itself because, like, let's say I go to a museum and I'm like, I'm going to take a picture of this wonderful Renoir painting and I'm going to pretend I'm better than you because I'm here doing this, being cultured.
Yes,
except
exactly.
What that does is that makes it makes other people want to do that because they're afraid of missing out. But at the same time, it takes away from what's actually happening because you are technically missing out by taking a fucking picture,
yes.
Which is crazy.
For sure. It's kind of out of control. You know, like the people, because she was doing pictures of like, hey, I just woke up like this. So I love this
scene.
Oh,
that was a beautiful scene. That as soon as, because this is the first part of the movie. Basically,
yes.
Why don't you explain it? I'm sorry.
So the intro is her giving her her first video tutorial thing about whatever it is.
I do want to say
this. I love how they use the video.
I was going to say, like, the videos are perfect punctuation marks for each act of the movie. It's wonderful. And sometimes like they'll show the video. Sometimes they'll just play like the, cause she uses the default video recording thing on the Mac. Cause you hear the countdown, the dee, 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 and then it records and it's like terrible quality, but this is how like she knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like I said, you'll see it, but then other times you'll just hear the voiceover and it just, it's like, it's perfectly just setting up what's about to happen in the most ridiculous way. So you get like the predecessor
and
of
it.
She's
always talking about things that she wishes she was like.
Yes.
Like if she was more confident or like helping out somebody. One of the big ones was her pretending that she had a pool party and then she invited the not popular kid over to make them feel better. And then they all found out that she was great.
But she was the non-popular
kid. That's what happens
kid.
To her,
yeah.
But in reverse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that is so good. Oh, God damn it. I love
it. But anyway, going back to that first scene, essentially she is she's doing herself up in the morning. She is watching a makeup tutorial and she's putting on makeup. And then she goes back to the bed and then takes a picture. It's like, just woke up whenever, you know, 5 minutes have transpired of her putting on makeup.
Now check this out.
Yes.
So have you ever seen The Marvelous Miss Maisel?
No.
Or heard of this show.
I have heard of the show, but I have not watched it.
So it's about a female stand-up comedian in like, I don't know, it's ye olden times. I might be getting this wrong, like 1950s around there. I've seen a few episodes. It's pretty good. I think I want to keep watching it. But in one of the first episodes, what she would do is she would wake up super early before her husband, put on makeup, do her hair, do all this stuff, and then get back into bed so that when her husband woke up, she would only see her at her best.
That's fucking crazy.
And apparently this is like a common practice that housewives would do, I believe. And I'm like, that is nuts. And then this little kid is doing the same thing, but with social media. And I'm like, that is crazy. Oh,
so basically saying is teenagers are the housewives of social media.
That's right. Teenagers are the housewives of the internet. That is true.
Hashtag
no,
teenagers
are
housewives.
It blew me away.
We'll just leave it at that.
It blew me away.
Oh, excuse me. House husbands, too, because we can't forget
Dan.
The pronouns.
I can put on makeup and look good if I want to. But no, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Because
because whenever you
when
know,
you take a picture, you don't want to take a bad picture.
You fluff it up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe get oh, Jesus Christ. Not like that. Not whatever Dan does. Whatever Dan does is different.
Well, no, but, I mean, you know, it's
you're trying to get the right angle. You're trying to do all that stuff. And I try not to film things when I go to concerts and stuff because I realize I'm not going to look at this video again.
Yeah.
Like, why am I filming it? It's a waste of time. sometimes I'll like to take a few, I'll take like one or two pictures and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, don't take any more pictures. You need to enjoy what's happening right now.
That's what I do. Like sometimes I take will go back maybe and two pictures and then I'm like, all right, let's just fucking hang out, have a couple beers.
Yeah. But then you'll see people who would just the entire thing, they're just filming it. And I'm like, you're going to watch this and it's going to be the worst fucking quality and you're going to hate it. And it's a waste of fucking time.
Some people will bring in their fucking iPads. So it's it's like three times bigger than a cell phone and they just hold it up. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Seriously. Or you see like the selfie sticks. I see that shit walking around. Like, I went downtown where I live and you'll see. So the big thing where I live right now is everyone's on those, you know, they have the scooters everywhere, the rentable scooters, there's bicycles that just really young kids are on them and they all have their phones out and they're filming themselves driving these fucking bikes. Like they're filming while they're driving. And this happens a lot. And I'm like, what
the
is going
youth
on?
Of today.
You're like, hey, I'm just out having fun filming myself. And you see that so much. And it is more predominantly with girls. I feel like I see it just in my, just out and about seeing it. But it, I don't know. There's some weird, what's the word? It's almost like they're conditioned.
Yes. Conditioned is a good word for that.
To try to get, this sort of gratification online. Was there something like this before the internet? Like, what did people do to get this type of gratification? Or was it just never there?
No, it was there. It's like just approval from friends, really.
So just being popular?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. It's a bizarre world we live in. So she's going through her life, just like desperately trying to be popular, pretending to be somebody she's not. While in real life, she seems like she has no friends, which is weird too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, how does she not have a
single
friend?
Quiet kid. So she's,
I guess so.
She doesn't like to act out in school. And then, like you said, there's no bullying. It's just, you know, she tries to make friends with the popular kids who just ignore her straight up. It's like,
yeah, that's the bullying in this movie is people just
ignoring.
They cannot get off their phones.
Yeah, essentially.
That's the bullying. They don't care enough to look away, which is amazing. And the only reason the boy that she likes is even paying attention to her is because she pretends that she has nudie photos on her phone. And that whole blowjob scene, she's like, just so you know, I give great blowjobs. And then they cut to her. Oh, this might be one of my favorite scenes of the film where she is... she is looking up YouTube videos on how to give a blowjob, and then she goes and types how to give a good blowjob, and then the whole banana thing.
Yes,
where she goes and grabs the banana.
Well, no,
and
what's hilarious was like, so the
I thought you didn't like bananas.
The before that, the video she settles on to watch is a deep throat video.
Jesus Christ.
And that's why she turns it off, because like she puts her on her headphones so you don't hear it. Like she doesn't want her dad to hear it. And then like words pop up on the screen. She's like, and she slams the computer shut.
All the interactions with her and her dad are so fucking funny and great and so relatable. Everything is so relatable in this movie. Even if you're not a girl, I think a lot of this stuff is pretty relatable.
But I do like the fact that he chose a girl instead of a boy going through this time, because boys are assholes and they're gross.
That's true. It'd just be jack off crazy the whole film. Yeah. And it's like, who wants to see that?
Oh my God. That scene in the school where they're in the sex education
class.
That
kid was crazy obvious, jacking off big time. And then all the kids are like, he's jacking off. And then she's so introverted. She's just kind of like not even there. She's not even present in the moment. That was
special.
Interesting. I loved how this movie, it went from that video, that cold open, making me feel like, oh, what is this movie going to be about? I don't know. And I'm just like, oh, this is hard to watch. And then boom, right into the intro of her getting ready and getting to school. And I'm like, holy shit, this is so fucking good. And the contrast of like the shitty YouTube video and that was just amazing.
Yeah.
It was like night and day. And I'm like, I understand what you're doing. Okay, I get it. I loved it. Was there any other scenes you wanted to talk about, Dan?
So there's a couple. I'm trying to remember them all.
Well, there's the one scene you alluded to at the end in the car.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and talk about it. So basically, yeah. She makes this high school friend, the high school shadow day. And yes. Like she's a bubbly personality who's just... I would assume she's genuine, right?
Yeah.
And she's just like looking forward for this girl to, you know, be in
high
school.
Yeah, it really seemed genuine. And you think that like something more sinister is going on there. And it's really just this girl wants to be nice to this freshman.
Yeah.
Because she was like that when she was young. Yeah. She's like, oh, I can help somebody else
and
out.
And she is
like, that's
just
cool.
As shallow in terms of language as she, like, it's so hard. The hardest part about this movie to me was just listening to them talk because they don't know how to talk to each other, which I think is the larger point because they're so busy talking to each other on social media that whenever an actual live interaction between two people happens, it's very, very just face value.
It's horrific. It's like, I like books. Do you like books?
So like I like the disconnect that is felt there because I think that's a very telling moment in the film for this generation that we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's weird is were we like that when we were kids? I don't know.
No.
I mean, I feel like we're all awkward as kids.
We are all awkward as kids, but like I remember that like it's degrading. I can guarantee because I see it every fucking day. I'm like, is this what you guys think is funny? And it's horrifying what they think is funny.
Yeah, that is true. I guess you're still exposed to it on the reg. But yeah, I don't know.
Like
it's
their whole, I gotta say this, their whole idea of humor in high school now is just finding the most disgusting videos to gross each other out. It's not funny. It's just like they just want to make each other vomit, and they think that's
that
funny.
Was still a. I knew a lot of people who would do that. They'd show you like the Goatsea or like Lemon Party or something insane.
Yeah, but
those kids who were like, "Hey, check this out."
Yeah,
and I'm just like, "God damn
now,
it!"
Now multiply those kids by I don't know the entire school, and multiply Goatsea by like a million.
Multiply Goatsea by a million. It can't be done.
If you don't know what Goatsy is, you can go fuck yourself. Because
you can go Goatsy yourself. You
can go Goatsy yourself. We're not going to explain
so
it.
Why so aggressive on people who don't know what Goatsy is?
That's a good point. You're lucky if you don't know what Goatsy is.
Yeah, like, don't look any of this stuff up. It's disgusting. It's awful. You're not going to like it at all.
Like, I showed...
If you haven't seen pictures of the Holocaust, you can fuck off. God damn it. Oh, so
anyway,
Danny,
this scene transpires where it's with this girl.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We took a weird tangent there. This girl is out in the mall with her friends and they're having like that one conversation that we were talking about how like these generations go by super fast now. And it ends with, the high school girl being taken home. And she's like, let's drop her off first. And then the guy's like, well, you're right here, so why should we do that? And then the little girl, the star, she's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And then it fucking does matter because you know it's coming. Oh, you see it a mile away. And he basically drops her off, then gets her alone in the car, and then goes in the back seat and parks.
Yeah, he parks the fucking car and gets out and just sits in the back seat with her. I'm like, holy shit, this little fucker. And what transpires is a very awkward game of truth or dare with a girl that is 4 years younger than him. How old do you think this kid is at this point? Is he 18?
He would be like 17, I would say.
17?
16,
still,
17. It's,
it was
not
really
fun.
Fucking creepy. Especially that he wanted to go to that... Basically, from zero to sex immediately. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. What a fucking creeper. It was horrific. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It made you have the feels. I felt very... It was just cringy and crazy. But what a scene. And then when she gets home and she's really upset. But all of that builds up to that ending with the dad giving that speech at the end, mm-hmm. which was so fucking good. What a way to like cap off the movie.
Well, and like, I like how nothing, that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, the conflict's never resolved for this girl ever. Mm-hmm. And everything that we see as an individual conflict, it just piles up and piles up and piles up because she doesn't know how to express herself. And then it all comes full circle before that scene where the dad gives the speech, where she just comes down and it's like one of the most, you know, amazing lines, just exchanges of dialogue in the movie for me before that, where she's like, can you help me burn something in the backyard? And he's like, yeah. Like, he just went along with it, but he was like, what are you talking? Like, it was wonderful.
And when he's like, so what are we burning exactly? He's like, oh, nothing. Just all my hopes and dreams.
And then he's like, whoa, what am I supposed to say to this girl?
I know. It's like, this is fucking crazy. But it was powerful. I kind of guessed that she was going to destroy the box already, because it's like her symbolizing her growing up and becoming a young woman. And she's starting to realize that life's just going to be hard and you're going to have these interactions and you just need to keep doing it and things will just work out. She's like, she can't isolate
herself.
Which
is why
if she doesn't try, then it'll never happen ever.
Which is why I like it so much that she decides to make another box with her dad.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I like that. So one other scene I wanted to talk about was that pool party scene.
Oh my god.
And she gets invited to a pool party from the popular girl. Or the mom invites her. Didn't it seem like the mom just invited her so she could say hello to the dad?
Yeah.
Like, that lady was really trying to hound that dad. And like in any other typical film, those two characters would probably have gotten together and they would have been some like romantic thing there. But like, that's just not the tone of the film. The movie's tone is so fucking solid. It never strays away from what it's trying to do. And I really respect that. But this pool party scene, the way they use the music and her in the bathroom freaking out and having the panic attack, and then her like going there and just being isolated by herself, sitting in the water alone, was too real.
Yeah.
Dan, it was too real. I feel like we've all had that. I don't know about you, but I've definitely had experiences.
Oh,
where
no,
I've been invited
100%.
To a thing and I don't know anyone and I don't know why I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm real sad right now. Like, this is not fun. And that's the social awkwardness you're going to have to keep living with the rest of your life, with parties and get-togethers and all other shit. It's a madhouse.
Yeah.
But then she meets that boy, and their little date was pretty adorable. But go ahead. I know you want to say something.
Well, I was just saying, like, it was totally relatable. And I was just going to make a joke. I don't know if it's pertinent anymore.
Oh, well, another thing I wanted to say is I thought it was interesting how, so the lead role, this has to be intentional, but like all of the other girls and boys in, like, they tried to make the child actor look as terrible as possible. Like, they did whatever they could to make her look bad. And they made all the other kids look like supermodels. Like, everyone's always wearing makeup, mm-hmm. 20, like, you know, even the guys, like, for the production. But for her, they're like, don't give her any makeup, don't let her do any of that stuff. The only time she ever has makeup on is when she does her videos, when she's pretending to be like the other people.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was almost like us, we were seeing how she was feeling. Like, everyone is so much more popular and cool than me, and like, everyone gets their own theme song when they move around, and it's like intense and fun, and like, I want to live my life. It was like the internet was happening in front of her all the time.
Yeah.
Because of like, that's how she felt. It was projecting it of like, everyone's best self was on display while she was just a normal person. And I thought that was an interesting point because you can get confused about like, why isn't my life how everyone else is portraying it? Same thing like if you watch pornography and you think like, this is how actual sex is.
Yeah.
And there might be kids growing up watching this and being like, oh, this is what sex is. I'm like, it's really not.
Dude.
These are like professionals.
That's exactly what, like, the boundary between realism and fiction yeah. is no longer like it's getting thinner and thinner as the generations go.
But it's just, you have to, I don't know. It's realizing the distinction of what's real and what's not.
Yeah. And
it's fascinating.
Whenever you don't have somebody, parents to teach you the difference between those two things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's getting thinner by the year. It's fucking crazy.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And then just, oh boy. Well, is there any other scene you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered
any
all
other
the
aspect
ones.
Of the movie.
Oh, I do want to say, like, the cinematography was actually, it drew attention to itself. It was very good.
Oh, it was good. I mean, the slow racking mm-hmm. and, like, zooming in. And
like, the whole pool scene, like you were talking about.
Mundane of
the pool scene is probably, it trumped. I mean, it's hard for me to say it, but it trumped the pool scene from Fast Times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the famous pool scene from the 80s. Yeah. Like, this scene, mm-hmm. just, it was filmed so well. And I feel like that's what brought a lot of the realism to it.
Yeah.
Because of how the camera was moving.
Great pool scenes. Rushmore had a good pool scene.
Oh, yeah, but not fucking moving in stereo.
It's different, I know. So he would take the most mundane event, just like kids lining up, you know? And the way they would film that made it, like, engaging.
Oh, the
every
one
shot
the,
was
the fuck are you talking about whenever they were going to the high school and they all were making
that
chain?
Was really cool.
That was fucking
yeah.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Where like all the kids are linked arm to arm and they're walking down the hall and like all the seniors are like laughing and taking pictures mm-hmm. of them like they were cattle. It was very bizarre. It was really weird. I will say there were certain points where the principal, because there's a form, that's that form of acting where they intentionally stutter or mess up on purpose to make it seem more realistic. Sometimes that can get a little annoying. Some of the stuff with the principal was kind of taking me out of it. When you know they needed that presentation, it felt pretty realistic, I guess. It wasn't, this is like such a minor nitpick. It's almost nothing.
But what made those scenes were like, there's this one kid, I forgot what he kept saying, but he kept saying it, and every time he would just like yell it in the background.
Well, he said to one of the ladies speaking, he's like, are you my mom?
No, but there was another thing that he kept saying throughout the entire movie, and it made me laugh. I just don't remember what it was.
Oh. Well, anywho, I think that's it, man.
Yeah, I think that's
it. I think we're at the end.
I think we are at the end. Jared, what did you give this movie?
Dude, I give this fucking movie everything. I give it my heart and my soul and a piece of chicken nugget. I'm going to give it an 8.8.
Ah, see, I just gave it a regular old 8. So, man, 8.8 and 8 for 8th grade.
What have we done?
16.8 divided by 2 equals. So we give this an 8.4. Woo, damn.
Nice. This is the only movie that I gave sound a 10.
Yeah.
Because I love the sound so much.
Yeah, so I gave it a 9, but
the sound was out of control good. So there you go, guys. If I can only remember what we do normally when we end the podcast.
Ourselves.
Yes. So on Facebook, we are Indie Film Review. Please find us there. We talk about movies we like, and we post episodes there. It's fun. On Twitter, we are Indie Film Pod. And if you'd like to email us or send us a submission for an indie film or maybe an indie film that you just like, you don't even have to have anything to do with it. You can send us a movie to submit at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
We're also on Instagram as Indie Film Review Pod.
And indiefilmreview.podbean.com is where we are hosted.
Don't forget to find us on
iTunes.
Any
of those, you can hit us up.
You can find us
on
Spotify.
iTunes. Yes, we're on Spotify. We're on everything. So, like, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Indie Film Review. And am I really going to do this again?
No.
Dan, you have the final word.
Gucho.
Gucho.